Time is precious, and so are our pets. So time with our pets is extra precious. That's why we started Dutch. Dutch provides 24/7 access to licensed vets with unlimited virtual visits and follow-ups for up to 5 pets. You can message a vet at any time and schedule a video visit the same day. Our vets can even prescribe medication for many ailments, and shipping is always free. With Dutch, you'll get more time with your pets and year-round peace of mind when it comes to their vet care.
What's up, guys? Welcome back to another episode of Married to Reality. I'm your co-host, John, here with my wife and co-host, who for some reason felt the need to use the entire Alexi and Lauren segment to heckle me. You don't know how to do laundry. You never cook. You couldn't survive without me. It's the one and only Teresa.
Hello, everyone. How's everyone doing? I didn't say you can, I just say you don't, and when I try to teach you, you don't take notes.
I don't need to take notes because...
Oh, you do.
You wrote notes for me, particularly on how to do the laundry.
I made a video for you.
You did. You did make a video, and you wrote notes, and you stuck them all over the closet, like, t-shirts belong here, sleep shirts belong here, pants, workout clothes. I've stuck to it.
You're trying. I see you're messing up your black shirt with graphics. You're messing them up with a black shirt without graphics and with a black shirt that are just hangout shirts.
You see what I have to deal with, guys?
Yeah, I mean, I saw it a mess yesterday.
You know what they need to do?
What?
I probably shouldn't even say this.
This is a great invention.
It's pretty good.
All right, let's keep it to ourselves.
It's pretty good. No, let me share. I used to have this thing growing up called the Money Miser, and you took pennies and nickels and quarters, and you just dumped them into this little machine. It's like a sharper image machine. You dumped them to this machine, and it sorted them and then rolled them so you could just bring them to the bank.
Oh.
Pennies, nickels, dimes, quarters, right? Let's make this for clothing, where you dump your clothing out of the laundry machine, out of the dryer, you dump it in and you program it. And it knows, like, okay, fold the black tees, put them over here. Fold the underwear, put them over here. And it's a robot that goes and puts your clothes away for you.
I like it, but it sounds very expensive.
Oh, it's not going to be cheap, Teresa. It's not going to be cheap, but it's going to be worth it.
All right. Lazy Jonathan.
Yeah. Well, anyways, you do a lot around here, Teresa, and we thank you for it.
Yeah, you could not live without me. No one would take care of you the way I do.
I feel like you think I didn't have a life before you. And it wasn't as fruitful. It wasn't as enjoyable. But for 29 years, right?
Yeah.
I was able to do my laundry, make my food, put it away.
But what kind of food? What kind of order did you have in your closet? Probably none.
No, it's pretty good. I survived, Teresa. But it's of course it's not as amazing as it is with you.
Exactly.
All right, let's move on before I get myself into trouble. We're here not to talk about my laundry habits. We're here to talk about 90 Day Fiancé. Before we do, real quick, a little business. We're talking about the show everyone's talking about, Love in Paradise, and we're doing it on Patreon and Supercast. And some of you guys might be like, oh man, Mavs, it's not on anymore. I only get to hear these guys once a week. Well, if you feel that way, jump on over to the Patreon or Supercast. You'll get to hear us twice a week at least. If you're on the Family Affair level, we throw a monthly bonus out there. And for our Patreon and Supercast friends, we do a random bonus here and there when something tickles our fancy.
We love it. And we love chatting with you guys. And you love chatting with each other, which is a great feature of the Patreon.
That's very true.
Because we all have the same thing in common, at the very least, the reality TV, which is a big part of our lifestyle. And I assume yours too. So it's awesome to just keep chatting about it, sharing our thoughts, and you guys sharing your thoughts with each other. Great.
Yes. So that's the Patreon with the chat feature, Supercast, though. Of course, you can get the audio episodes, and then we send you links to the video episodes if you're on the Family Affair level. So check it out, patreon.com/marriedtoreality, marriedtoreality.supercast.com. Also, make sure you're following along on Instagram at Married to Reality Pod. It's a good time over there too, because that's where you can call in. If you're not on the Patreon or the Supercast, which is like the direct line that rings and vibrates and our lights flash when someone messages us so that we can immediately respond. If you're not on the Patreon or Supercast, get on the Instagram, message us there, share your thoughts. We want to hear what you think about these shows.
Yes.
Also, make sure you're following the podcast wherever you're listening. It's so easy to do. Just look down and smash that follow button.
Guys, smash it like it's hard. It's snatched to Lauren because she's getting there. The second chin is gone. She looks in pain, but she looks snatched.
Snatched.
Yeah, I couldn't do it because my hands are wet from my sparkling water.
Oh, nice. All right, so smash like it's as hot as Lauren post-op. And last but not least, if you haven't left a review, you know we love a little love. And if you leave a 5-star review and you write something, we'll read it on this podcast right here.
Yes.
All right. That's the business. What do you say before we get into the meat of the episode? A little 90 day by the way.
Let's do it because I asked you to do one. So let's see what if you do, and let's see what the other one is.
All right, well, let me start with one that you definitely didn't ask for.
Okay.
I don't think anyone asked for this.
Okay.
I talked about this show months ago, maybe a year ago, even at this point. It's finally been released. The GOAT on Amazon Prime.
Okay.
I mention it, and I mentioned it in the past because Pow is on it.
Oh, Paola?
Paola of Russ and Pow. Yeah, it's another reality show where they put a lot of reality stars together in a house. There's a competition angle to this one, and Pow's on it. Here's the synopsis of the show, if you guys forgot. Daniel Tosh, who's he's a funny guy, he hosts the show, welcomes 14 reality superstars into a hilarious, drama-filled new competition show where both the strong and totally clueless can survive. Each week, bachelors, housewives, Food Network stars, and Shahs of Sunset will face off and eliminate each other until one person is crowned reality television's greatest of all time. So, 4 episodes out so far.
Interesting.
They dropped 3 at once, then I think they just dropped another. It's on Amazon. It's on Prime. You can watch it. It actually has decent reviews.
Is it like a Big Brother that they all live in the same house together?
I think it's like Big Brother. I think it's like Real World. I think it's like Love is Blind. Like
she have a kid?
Perfect Match. Yeah, she's got a husband and a kid, and she don't care. She's after that fame. She's after that reality TV money.
All right. Interesting.
Maybe we'll watch it. Maybe we'll do that as a Patreon bonus for our family affair friends. We'll see. All right. That is number one. Check it out if you want. Let us know how it is if you do. By the way, number two, Teresa.
Everyone
and their British mom have been talking about this story. And I didn't bring it up last episode because I was trying to sort it all out. There was a lot going on. He said, she said, who said, who knows? I wanted to know what the truth was, but I've had some time to do some reading now.
Okay.
I could digest it. And what a wild story it is.
Tell me.
Okay.
Tell us.
Clearly we're talking about Sophie's mom, Claire, of Sophie and Rob. Well, Teresa, she just got released from jail.
Jail in Texas?
She was in jail in Texas. She spent 5 nights in jail.
All right.
The charges were dropped, so she was released.
So for our friends who don't know this story, which I doubt we have any, but we may, who reported her? Was it Sophie?
Okay, so she was originally arrested on May 10th. She was at an extended stay hotel, as she tends to be. And she was arrested on May 10th after making terroristic threats against a family member, a.k.a. Sophie.
Yes, okay. I've seen that.
Yeah. So to fully understand the story, we have to go back a little bit. It seems like Sophie and Kay are living together once again.
Now? Like nowadays?
Presently.
Okay.
Okay. But they had a third roommate, Mother Claire.
Oh.
Okay. So they were all living together. I don't know if Rob, I don't want no spoilers here. I don't know if Rob was a fourth roommate, but I know Sophie, Kay, and Claire were living together. They started having some disputes, a primary dispute being finances, money, right? Claire was not necessarily, allegedly, holding up her end of the bargain. So they kicked her out.
Yikes.
They kicked her out on April 22nd. So that's why she goes to an extended stay hotel. So after they kicked her out, I think Sophie feels bad. It's her mom. Sends her $3,000. Mm-hmm. Say, here you go. You need some cash. Here's $3,000. Claire kept demanding more and more money. Okay? It got to the point where Claire was threatening suicide if Sophie didn't send.
Oh, geez.
More money. And she also allegedly sent a text to Sophie that said, I'm going to come to your house and slit your fucking throat off.
Yeah, I saw that okay. too. Yikes.
So the text kept coming and coming, and you see that's pretty threatening. So it prompted Sophie to call the police on May 9th.
Mm-hmm.
And that was the day, May 9th. That was the infamous day that Claire took to social media to share the footage of Rob verbally berating Sophie.
Okay.
So that's all happening. Claire ends up getting arrested for those texts, for those threats.
Mm-hmm.
Because you can't just be texting people, I'm going to come slit your fucking throat
yeah.
off. So she went to jail, spent 5 nights. But I guess Sophie dropped the charges, and that's why Claire was able to be released.
Interesting.
So that's where it stands. Rob chimed in a little bit and said, you see what I was dealing with here? Claire's a little bit nutso.
Yeah, a little bit.
he didn't say much more of that. Obviously, nothing in relation to his relationship
yeah.
where it stands. But woo!
What a wild story. Here's my biggest question. I don't think Claire is a U.S. citizen or a green card holder.
It's a good question.
Because she lives in Mexico. She keeps coming to the U.S., which I assume would be tourist visa. Otherwise, why wouldn't she live here?
It's a good question.
And how would she get papers? Because Sophie got papers through Rob, right?
Yeah.
Or is working on it. If she always wanted to live in the U.S., if Claire was a citizen or a green card holder, Sophie could have gotten papers to her mom without even marrying Rob or needing to marry him.
It's a good point.
So I'm surprised in Texas that why wouldn't they deport her immediately if she's legal here?
I think she's legal here. I think she can legally be here. She probably can't permanently reside.
Well, I feel like if you're here on any visa and you get arrested, you need to be deported. I don't think you can be vacationing, get arrested, and then keep vacationing.
Yeah, not
I
lawyers.
I might be wrong.
Yeah,
but
not lawyers. But that's where the story stands. And maybe she is on her way back to Mexico. Who knows? This is somewhat hot off the press.
Unless because Sophie dropped the charges, there is nothing right. to charge her with. So,
right.
But this is wild.
Yeah, also innocent until proven guilty. So charged is not guilty.
Mm-hmm.
She would have had to go to court. She would have had to have been found
yeah.
guilty. And that clearly didn't happen because the charges were dropped. So you may be right. If the proceedings went forward and she was charged with anything, yeah, she'd probably be sent back to where she came from. But which I don't even know if it would be Mexico or would it be.
I don't even know how she's legally living in Mexico. That's my other thing.
She could have a work visa, maybe.
Yeah, but working on what?
I don't know.
I don't think she's working. Unless clearly she married someone from Mexico.
She's got financial troubles. I don't know. There's still a lot to be.
I know. I'm intrigued.
On. Yeah, but there you go. That's what we know so far. It's the picture is coming a little bit into clearer focus, but
nice.
Still a lot of questions.
A lot of questions.
All right. That is 90 Day, by the way. What do you say we get into it? The reason we're here, Sunday night, 90 Day Fiancé, happily ever after,
question mark.
Woo. Let's start at the recovery resort.
With Lauren and Alexis.
Yes, Lauren is post-op. The recovery resort, a.k.a. the nearest Holiday Inn Express. If you were post-op, if I was post-op, I would want to be put up at a little bit more of a plush hotel, I think.
Yeah, but you have 3 kids at home. Dad is living with you. I don't know how much money they make, but even if they make decent money. They just dropped, I'm going to just guess, 50 grand on the surgery at the least.
Okay.
I think staying at the nearest hotel instead of a luxury resort might be the way to do it.
Yeah. Yeah, I've just stayed at quite a few Holiday Inn Expresses, and between the that's inevitably coming from either the floor above or the floor next, the waft of marijuana smoke coming through the halls. Yeah, I don't know that's where I'd want to recover, but she did have to go back the next day for a checkup, so it makes sense. She just wanted to be close.
She looks like a babichka. She's so banged up, just using the wheelchair as a walker.
Yeah. But she's, I mean, she's doing well.
Yeah.
All things considered, but she got like zero sleep. She has those drains in her and she has to sleep upright. So I guess it doesn't matter where you're staying. When those are the conditions you're in, you're not going to get a decent night's sleep, whether you're at the Ritz or you're at the Motel 6.
I feel like if I ever did something like this, I would probably do it one by one.
Like, I don't know. If I think in theory you think that, but also just imagine just getting it done. Imagine having to recover from this, go back, recover again.
Yeah. I don't know. But she's very swollen. They removed the bandages around her head. Her second chin is gone, even with the swelling.
Right off. Well, that also could be, that's what it is. Like the swelling could be hiding the second chin. Not that it's there. I don't think it's there.
Yeah.
But you're clearly not seeing the finished product at
but
this
she's
point.
Still wearing that. Has to wear that bandage for a while.
She could take it on and off. One thing, another thing she's wearing and loving is her muumuu.
What's a muumuu?
Her nightgown.
Oh.
She was loving it. She's like, I love it. Alexi picked it out. Amazing. The irony is if you loved wearing that, just wear that and you wouldn't need the surgery because like you're just wearing a big sheet. No one can see anything. So if you like that so much, just rock that for the rest.
But
rest
Alexi
of time.
Is taking a great care of her. Like he's doing everything the doctor said. He brought the little tube with the pink fat or whatever that is. Not sort of fat.
I had blood, like, I thought.
It's not no, it's
I guess
something.
It's whatever's draining.
Yeah.
It's like when you have a George Foreman grill and whatever collects at the bottom of the George Foreman grill.
Ew, that's a horrible comparison. But okay. Yes.
All right.
We used to have a George Foreman
grill. Yeah, when you live in New York, it's really your only option for a grill.
Good times.
Yeah.
But yeah, she's healing well. Everything's looking well. Doctor's loving it. Guys, how many of you go to your doctor and then give them a little kiss on the cheek?
I didn't see. Wait, Lauren or Alexi?
Lauren.
Okay. I thought, because obviously we couldn't go back and rewatch, but you made a comment of like, oh, look, he just booped his doctor. And I was like, I shake my doctor's hands.
I do nothing.
During COVID, I fist bump a doctor here and there.
I'm like, don't even touch me.
But did Alexi kiss or did?
No, it was a doctor and Lauren. They're like,
well, Lauren's still coming down from whatever high she was on. So,
well, he leaned close. I think maybe because of all the meetups and discussions prior for months, and maybe you become closer, which I don't know. It's weird. Like, there is a boundaries. I barely even hug anyone. Why would I boop my doctor?
I think, and I could be wrong, I feel like with plastic surgery, it's a different relationship. With your primary care, or if you go see a specialist, you're there. It's usually not the best case scenario for the reason why you're there. It's bad news or whatever. For this, it's like, oh my God, you just made me snatched. I love you so much. Thank you. It's,
I guess.
You gave me this new lease on life. Like, there's a different relationship that you formed.
That makes sense.
Could be wrong.
Yeah.
So they were going to tap Lauren's mom in to help out. But now after seeing what it actually takes to care for Lauren, Alexi's like, no. I'm going to handle it from here.
Because he says if something goes wrong, then it's going to add time to her recovery that we don't want to even go there.
Yeah, I can't imagine even wanting someone who didn't hear from the horse's mouth, who didn't hear from the doctors and the nurses what needs to be done to take care of me. Like, I wouldn't want you to play a game of telephone with my mom.
Yeah.
And then my mom have to rely on, like, did you give all of the information? Did you really say
it?
And I'm sure it's all written down and whatnot. But just, I would want whoever spoke to the doctors and got those instructions straight from the doctor to be the one to care for me.
Yeah, for sure.
So, okay. We then see Alexei's not only taking care of Lauren, he's taking care of the house still.
Well, because Lauren, he says she's a control freak. I get it. I totally understand that. She wants
They would
to
love
go
my
home.
Laundry invention then.
Maybe. Maybe. Well, Lauren wants him to go home and check on the kids. Alex, he doesn't want to go. He doesn't want to leave Lauren alone, but she makes him go for a few hours, which makes sense. Like, the kiddos must miss the parents, so why not for a little bit?
So who was with Lauren when he went?
She was alone. I think she can be alone for 2 to 3 hours. She can watch TV and drain herself.
She can't wipe herself if she has to pee or the other thing.
Well, just hold it for a while.
And maybe a producer's there.
I don't know.
Shout out to that challah on the counter, though. I don't know if you spotted that, but that's the first.
Did. Yeah, because you said, look at that challah.
It's the first
like,
place.
Tell me you're Jewish without telling me.
Well, then.
First thing John sees, look at that challah.
What? Challah, there's no better bread. I would argue there's no better bread than challah.
I would argue, and unless, okay, it's almost the same thing. We call it vanochka. It looks the same. It tastes the same. Okay. We make it for Christmas. Yep. The homemade version is literally challah.
And how good is it?
It's very good. So, I absolutely fucking hate when my mom sometimes accidentally bought the version with raisins because that is one thing I can stand in life. It's salmon and it's raisins.
That's one thing?
Two things I can stand in life. And if I had to pick which one I'm going to eat, if I was forced, I'm going to eat salmon. I cannot stand raisins. It's the worst thing ever. Love grapes, love wine. Cannot stand raisins. So if you put raisins in the challah bread, it ruins it.
Okay. Yeah, I'll take any sort of challah. I mean, a good challah is perfectly moist, but it has that outer shell that's like almost buttery and like a little slippery to it. You make a challah French toast out of it.
I just love the vanochka without anything. Sometimes my mom put marmalade on it.
Okay.
It's very good.
All right. Either way, they don't indulge on the challah. Alexei is too busy taking care of the house, doing laundry. He is a very good dad. From seeing just this 5-minute segment, I'm like, what a good dad. He's coming home and husband.
Yes,
taking care of the house, spending time with the kids, doing the laundry, not making a stink, not like, ugh. Because, and not that I would do this. But again, it was an elective surgery.
Yeah.
Right? Totally different ballgame if she was sick or she needed something to be done. It's like, no, I want to be more snatched. So so now you're going to have to pay the price and take care of the house for weeks by yourself. And he's like, all right. He does it.
Yeah, you would do it too if I wanted to be more snatched.
Yeah, whatever you want.
And then we would invite my parents over too. So it's like you have someone to help you and talk to you.
Yeah, well, I'll have my laundry robot, so it won't be so bad. All right, so that is Lauren and Alexei.
Yeah, I think she's going to go home on the next episode, so that'll be interesting.
All right, yeah, I'm ready to move this storyline along.
I know, right?
It was somewhat interesting, I guess, to see her go under the knife and all that that entails, but
again, I'm going to say this. I wish she kept it a secret because on the social media, but we see her snatched. We see them doing well. We see them in love. The kids are fine. So it's like, well, what's going to happen, right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, we know.
Well, something that's very interesting and I'm very confused on this storyline. I'm loving it. It's Nicole and Mahmoud.
Again, because of what leaked in the news.
Yeah.
We know that there was this allegation against Mahmoud. And so it means, they must have gotten back together. Maybe not romantically, but they were at least together in the same place.
Well, I love this storyline because he keeps leaving. He just loves to pack and leave. But in my mind, when this happily ever after started, I was like, okay, they're going to be fine, going to be fun. It's going to go slowly down the hill.
No.
It started down the hill and it's just still down. So that's why it's so interesting to me, because I'm like, how did they actually even get to that point? Because he keeps moving out.
Yeah. So Nicole thought, okay, we had that big fight, but it's been a few days. Things are better. Mahmoud's cooled down. He even met some friends at the mosque. No, things are not better. There's been another fight, and this one might take the cake because the accusations are flying.
Yeah, apparently Nicole went out and texted Mahmoud she's coming home soon, but she didn't. She got home late. She was drunk. And when he asked her to show him her phone, she said no, and she like freaked out. So Mahmoud accused her of cheating. Classic.
Here's my take, probably, of why the phone wasn't shared. Do I think she was cheating?
No.
No. Do I think she was probably talking shit about Mahmoud?
For
and,
sure.
And some text messages?
Absolutely.
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 And she doesn't want him to see that. But her reasoning and her answer to whether she was cheating on Mahmoud or not is such a poor excuse. And it's something we hear from men a lot. And this is the first time I've heard a woman say it is, no, I'm not cheating on Mahmoud. I don't have the time to cheat on Mahmoud, right? And it's like, that's such a bad excuse.
Yeah, because you're saying if you did have time, you would.
Right. And like so many men say like, oh, no, what are you talking? I don't even, if it's like, oh, you cheated on your wife with Mary. Mary's not even my type. It's like, no, what you need to say is I love my wife so much. I would never, I have no need to cheat on her. Why would I ever cheat on her? I can't, there's no one I love more. Not like, I don't have time.
Yeah.
It's just
you're basically saying that, well, if I did.
Right. Yeah. I'm not saying I wouldn't.
Yeah.
I'm just saying I can't. I physically just don't have the time.
I wouldn't be surprised if she cheated, but I don't think she did. I don't think she's the type. And I also don't think she got drunk. I can see her getting drunk. I think she had maybe two glasses and got a little happier, which she doesn't often get very happy or giggly.
True.
She's very serious. So I can see her how two glasses of wine really got her in the mood. And Mahmoud basically just accused her of being drunk, regardless of she was actually drunk or she had a drink.
Well, because I think in his mind, there's no acceptable limit.
Yeah.
So for him, one beer or a 12 pack is the same. It's like you shouldn't be drinking.
Yeah. And Nicole says, she's like, yeah, like when he tells me he wants to get a divorce, like he says it all the time. So it's like, I never really take it seriously. But then he said he has no feelings for me anymore, and that hurts. I think if you kept telling me you want to get a divorce, you could say it once, and I'll be like, well, here we go.
Because yeah.
If you feel this way to the point that you're going to say it out loud to me, I would not take that lightly. Like Nicole's like, he wants to get a divorce all the time. Like, I never really, like, who cares?
Yeah, if someone says it that many times, it's eventually going to happen.
So, of course.
So, okay, you might throw it around a lot in the heat of the moment and there's no divorce papers being filed that next day. But if you're at the place where you can easily throw it around, I have a feeling it's coming, whether it's in 3 months, 6 months, 9 months.
Yeah.
And so just get out now while you can before you invest any more time or emotion, because it's happening. If it's that easy to just say, it's going to happen. Yeah.
And he says it all the time. And on top of that, again, he said he has no feelings for her and he just doesn't see this working out.
No.
Which I'm surprised it's coming from him. This should have come from her a long time ago.
For some reason, I do think she loves him and I don't know why.
I don't know why either, but she keeps crying, says he's actually a really good person with a big fucking heart. It's like, but he wants to divorce you all the time. Like,
and he wants how to control you. Person? He wants to control you and keep you from your friends.
Yeah.
And what you like to do. It's not good. He ends up saying, like, I'm for real. We will divorce. 90-day divorcee. Shout out to that. And he gets his suitcase and he leaves again.
Yeah. He loves. I feel like he doesn't even unpack anymore. Just
why would?
All ready to go. Because he's just like, bye.
Yeah, why would he? He apparently called this friend that he met at the mosque and is hoping, oh, he'll help me figure out where to go from here.
We'll see, Mahmoud. I don't think this is it for them.
No, it can't be. It can't be.
No.
But again, it's just embarrassing. How do you come back from this time and time again? How many times can he threaten to leave?
Yeah.
And you accept him back? It's not, you can't just magically wave your hands and everything's going to be good. At best, if he comes back and you make it work, at best, it's going to be this bad for the rest of your life.
Yeah.
It's never going to miraculously get better than this. It can only get worse.
Yeah.
Which we saw it does.
We'll see. Well, let's talk about something that can get worse and is getting worse by a minute.
Mm-hmm.
The one and only Angela and
Michael.
They are on. I really didn't think they're going to be on. I thought they just removed them from the show after the debacle of Michael's gone missing.
No, they've done this a few times in the past. And I was thinking maybe they would get rid of them, but no. I mean, first of all, nobody cares, right? All the people that knew this story, saw this story, saw that Michael made it to the States and then ran away, like, nobody really cared. It was a bit of a spoiler.
Yeah.
But who cares? And then I think we're the small minority. If there's a million people who watch 90, there's no way even half are following the social media channels or the podcast that closely. So half the people watching the show didn't even know that he made it to the States and ran away.
Well, I think if you are a fan of 90, you are a fan of 90. Like, you know what's up.
I think that's
especially a big story like this.
I think that's our circle. But
I guess. I mean, I was invested. I was like, oh my gosh, finally we're having our first 90-day Dateline crossover. And then he was found.
Oh yeah, we called the special press conference on Patreon about this. But okay, Angela and Michael. Angela's in Nigeria with Michael. Michael is just popping those pecs. His shirt is unbuttoned to the floor. He is letting it all hang out.
I mean, Angela's boobs are out, like literally out.
Angela's mopping the floor with her boobs.
Yeah, and something I didn't realize, they met 7 years ago. So they've been on 90 Days for 7 years. So when they met, she was 50 and he was 28. Now Angela's 57, he's 35. They've been married for 3 years, and this is finally the moment they've been waiting for.
The culmination of it all.
He finally has his spousal visa interview scheduled for tomorrow.
I kind of forget he tried twice already.
I know.
A student visa. What were you coming here as a student for, Michael? And then obviously the spousal visa, but both denied.
Well, I'm curious about the student visa because if you get accepted, you have to get accepted to college first.
Yeah.
And then you have to show that you have enough money to cover like 2+ years of the tuition and living expenses in the state you live in. If you have all that, they won't deny your visa.
Teresa, he was denied. Swiftly,
so,
I imagine.
That is my hot take. They just applied for a student visa without him being enrolled in a school or having any backup.
Yeah. Yeah. I think they were trying anything. And
yeah. Speaking from experience, because I did stay here on student visa and I did have to be accepted and enrolled in college before I applied.
Yeah. So. You have to be a student.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Because once you have all this, they will accept you. You bring a lot of money to the US schools because you pay out-of-state tuition. Mm-hmm. So if he had all of it, he would have been accepted.
Yeah. So, okay, tomorrow's the big day. So Angela wants to start quizzing Michael, prepping him for the interview. And we won't go through it all because we all know Angela and Michael. But this was a cool technique, I thought, editing-wise, production-wise. This was a cool technique to then flash back to parts of the relationship because it was like, oh, when did we meet or how long have we been together? And then instead of Michael just answering, like flashed back and showed the meeting, showed the ups and downs they've had. what religion am I? A Christian?
Like Italian.
Italian, the Italian denomination.
Angela is everything that Italy is not.
Oh, boy.
What?
I don't even know what you're thinking.
I'm just thinking, when I think of Angela, I don't think Italian. When I think Italian, I mean, I'm think of positive and happy and relaxed and chilled and I just mean, drinking a glass of wine, eating pasta. When I think of Angela, I'm just thinking cigarettes, stuff in her bra, yelling at Michael. That's not relaxing.
No, but Italians do enjoy their cigarettes and they are on the cutting edge of fashion. And Angela sure is doing something with fashion.
Let's leave it at that.
Let's leave it at that. So then they call Angela's grandkids and all the kids are like, oh, please. Oh, Michael, please come home, Michael. And don't you be running away when you do get here, Michael. We can't wait to see you.
Papa Michael.
It looked like, I don't even know. It looked like it was a fourth grade class that they had gathered together to like say hi to the troops or something.
Michael is like, the first thing I want to do when I get to the U.S. is to hug the grandkids. Really?
Yeah. I think you want to run away is the first thing you want to do.
Yeah, that's the first thing you did. Like leaving the grandkids behind alone.
Yeah. Yikes.
Yikes.
Okay. Next morning, text on the screen, which is always a good sign. Angela discovered some screenshots that Michael was going to show in the interview.
I almost feel like, okay, is he trying to sabotage this?
No, I think he is. He's just... I think he's a pretty naive guy, and he thought, okay, so what? I cheated. In real relationships, when you cheat, you fight, and we ended up fighting. So that proves that we are a real couple.
I think their hurdle was the age difference, of course, because it looks a certain way. It looks like she's bringing him to the U.S., right?
Yeah.
And... I think in his mind, yeah, he's probably like, let's just show both sides, not just the lovey-dovey side.
Yeah, make it real. But what Michael failed to recognize is that a real couple or a loving couple wouldn't cheat in the first place. So it's like, yes, if you got caught cheating, you would fight. But a couple worth getting a visa, they would not be cheating on each other in the first place.
If he wanted to show fights over something silly like him being on social media, I don't know.
Right.
Or like, don't show fights. Like, that's just dumb. No one wants to see that. Like, we went to the interview and there were mostly questions for John.
They wouldn't even let you talk.
They didn't let me talk at all. But like, they didn't ask like, okay, so do you guys like fight? How bad is the relationship?
Yeah.
No one wants to know that.
I mean... In our defense, I think on paper, we look more convincing than Angela and Michael.
True.
So if we were in their position, I don't know what I would be prepping for. But yeah, they didn't even ask anything that challenging.
No.
It was like,
the
when
guy
did you meet,
liked you because he was from Connecticut.
When did you meet? Where did you meet? Yeah, we bonded over New Haven Pizza, the best pizza in the country.
And I was not allowed to say anything.
Yeah, you were like, oh, I do love mushroom pizza. He's like, shh. Don't speak.
Yeah, I said nothing. Yeah. Besides, I had to swear that I'm something about like me not being a prostitute. Oh, yeah. Or, like, you remember?
Yeah.
I'm like, I swear that, or like, I declare that I am not the prostitute. Or there was something wild that I laughed.
Only on
I'm
my like, birthday.
I shouldn't be laughing about this, but it was kind of funny.
Yeah. All right. So Angelica just got so mad that she's not even going with Michael to the interview, which...
Yeah.
Crazy.
It is. I feel like I'm still kind of surprised they got to this point.
Totally.
I just think like Michael really, really wants to live in the U.S.
Clearly, he doesn't love Angela because he left the minute he could.
Yeah.
But I am not one to applaud the scammers or anyone who breaks the law. Obviously not. Teresa had to fight the good fight to be here and earn it. And we're obviously a real couple.
I didn't have to fight any fights. We were just, scam anyone.
Not fight the fight, but we had to do all the paperwork and pay the money for the lawyers. And right, there were things we had to do, which we wouldn't have had to do if you were not foreign. But all that said, man. For Michael to put up this front
seven years
and do this dance for 7 years, I can't be that mad.
I mean, honestly, I don't know how much he struggled because, well, she went to Nigeria once a year, twice a year. The rest of the time, he's hanging out with the goofballs.
No, the rest of the time, she is calling him, yelling at him, showing up unannounced, tearing the bumper off his car.
Oh, yeah, I forgot about it.
Like, whew.
Didn't she come with a friend that she beat up at the hotel in New York then?
Pretty sure.
Classic. All right.
I think this is a good place to take a break. We will tell you about our sponsors for this episode. And when we come back, let's go to Miami. All right? We'll be back in a second.
Time is precious, and so are our pets. So time with our pets is extra precious. That's why we started Dutch. Dutch provides 24/7 access to licensed vets with unlimited virtual visits and follow-ups for up to 5 pets. You can message a vet at any time and schedule a video visit the same day. Our vets can even prescribe medication for many ailments, and shipping is always free. With Dutch, you'll get more time with your pets and year-round peace of mind when it comes to their vet care.
And we're back.
Hello, Jonathan.
Hello, Teresa.
What's up?
Oh, just hanging out talking about my favorite show on television.
Oh, yeah. Well, let's keep talking about it and let's go to Miami. Well, last day in Miami because Gino and Jasmine are packing.
Yeah. Yeah. The time has come for them to return to Michigan. It's the day after Gino just found out Jasmine doesn't want to have kids with him.
Yeah. And it's his dream to have at least one. And I get it. He's in his 50s, but I don't think he's hearing her because I'm watching the show. At this point, if I was Gino, I would be the one tell her, hey, let's first get shit together. Let's make sure we get your kids here. Let's make sure your mental health is stable. And then let's talk about kids. Like, I would pick up on it just watching the TV, right? The fact that he's not picking up on her struggles and keeps pushing on this kid is kind of crazy.
Yeah, I thought this was a little producer driven. And I still think maybe the fight last episode where it was like, You can't go into the pageants because what if you get pregnant? Like, I think that's all a little bit BS, but I do believe this disagreement and I do believe where Jasmine's coming from. And she said something this episode that I hadn't thought about. And when she said it, I was like, oh, wow, I can actually understand this argument. Is she said, my kids aren't here with me right now. And I don't feel right about that. And imagine if you are young Wansei. Imagine if you are a little Wansei over there going, hey, mom, I miss you.
Yeah.
Hey, mom, I would love to come to the States. Hey, mom, did you forget about me? And you find out, instead of getting old Wansei over to Michigan, she's actually having another child. Yeah, yeah. That actually sat with me and went like, oh, wow. That probably does weigh on her.
Yeah. And I felt this for her since this beginning of this season. It makes so much freaking sense. I think the mistake she made is that she kind of agreed with Gino. Like when they went camping in Michigan, she's like, I'm ovulating. Let's do this. Like, she shouldn't have gotten that. And she should have established this boundary and said, I need my kids here first. I need my mental health to get back to normal because it's important, and then let's talk about our kids.
Right, but that was never an argument she made until this episode. It was always, I don't want to have kids with Gino because he fucked up the paperwork. He took this case to the law offices of Fedora and Fedora, and they butchered everything. Like, he's not ready to be a father. That was always the argument. Had she made the argument, hey, it feels a little wrong to be bringing another child into this world before I can even get my other children here. If she had made that argument from day one, I would have been like, oh, that makes complete sense. But she was just like, oh, he's going to be a bad dad because he messed up the paperwork.
Yeah. Well, she tells him, I'm asking for a pause. I want to heal. And is that okay with you? And he's like, yeah, I get it. Finally. And he encourages her to do the pageant.
Because he thinks she's going to win. And if she wins, she'll be less depressed. And if she's less depressed, she'll want to have a kid with him. That's the train of thought.
Probably. We'll see. But I'm here to watch Jasmine being a pageant contestant. I mean, Natalie tried. I don't know if she won. I don't think she did, but.
No. Did you hear? And this, I don't think this is a spoiler or anything because I literally have no idea about it. But there's talk of Jasmine having a new man.
I know.
The socials are chirping about a new man.
I also saw spoilers that she was dating Nikki Exotica. But I think they're just friends.
Yeah.
But I think this is a while ago when the previous season.
When Nikki was relevant.
Yes. Yeah, I mean, we all know, we saw the spoilers. Nothing's official as far as I know, but they may be on the last resort.
Yeah.
So maybe things will go down the hill and maybe she will leave Fedora and Fedora. Who knows?
Who knows? But yeah, my eyes, I perked up when I saw that headline come across the screen. Obviously, nothing to substantiate it at this point. But
there is part of me that I believe she somehow loves Gino.
I believe that too.
For whatever reason, she does love Gino. So we'll see.
Well, I think there's some questionable things about Gino.
A lot of them.
The primary one is his choice in headwear. But Jasmine's a beautiful woman. But you know that she has self-esteem issues, right? And she's verbalized it multiple times. And so I think she almost feels better being with Gino, who is not Dane,
yeah.
who is not some model, because she feels like, okay, well, at least if I'm with Gino, I'm the best he can do, and he will treat me like a goddess. And so I think she overlooks the headwear and whatnot. And
I mean, she actually said it before, so yeah, right. For sure.
Okay. Woo. Shall we move on?
Let's move on to the above mentioned Rob and Sophie.
Back to the sex shop. Where
one's in Austin. The previous one was in LA.
But still, where all fights begin for this couple.
Yeah. So after the therapy, Sophie felt like, we're doing better. Rob's doing better. So I'll give him something he's asking for. I'm going to buy a costume for him.
We're going to play dress up. She went straight to the schoolgirl outfits. And then she picked out like a bedazzled jock strap for Rob. It looked like, I don't know if you had this in check, it looked like that candy. It came on like a white sheet of paper with just like dots on it.
No idea what you're saying.
Colored dots on just like this white, almost like a CVS receipt with candy dots on it.
No idea.
That's what his jock strap looked like.
Yeah, I don't know if we're supposed to put him on the leash or what's up with that.
I don't understand how this is enjoyable for either party.
I feel like if you can put him on a leash and if you're into that type of stuff, I can see how we can walk him around the house, maybe having cleaned the floor a little bit.
A little bit.
People are into weird stuff.
It looked like a bra without the cups, though.
I don't think he put it on correctly. I'll be that honest.
That would explain a lot.
Because it didn't look sexy.
No.
No. So Sophie's trying to pick an outfit that I think she wears outfits that show her boobs, show her butt and everything. But I think she's still a little shy, right?
Yeah.
So she picks something that's not that provocative. But the skirts were very, very short.
Well,
very short.
I think she also knows, one, she's in public. Two, she's on camera.
Yeah.
And she was saying, I'm not going to come out in this costume if my ass cheeks are I'm on camera.
No, for sure.
And the blur guy has the week off because Jasmine's leaving Miami. So I'm not coming out in anything that's going to be too revealing. And that pisses Rob off.
Yeah, she comes out with that belly. It did look like a regular belly shirt, something she would wear. I'll give her that.
Okay.
Give Rob that. But I'm like, also, why is she showing this to you? Shouldn't that be a surprise? Like, just, yes, your ass is showing, cool. Bring it home and surprise Rob. Why are you showing it to everyone? Like, if that was the combination, I think that would make him happy. The fact that she wears it with her other skirt, and she does wear a lot of belly shirts, so it kind of looks normal. Then he gets annoyed. Classic Rob.
Yeah, it wasn't sexy enough for him. And you guys know I love couples fighting in Halloween costumes. My new favorite thing is couples fighting while they're wearing their sex shop outfits, because it's just hilarious that here's Rob screaming his head off while wearing like a dog harness.
Yeah, and he keeps saying, oh, look, I look ridiculous. You can't even put it on. And I get it. She's like, yeah, my ass is showing. What do you want me to do? Step outside in public?
Yeah. Yeah. And they end up taking the argument to the car. And Sophie interprets this argument that Rob doesn't think she looks good, that Rob's not finding this attractive or sexy.
Yeah. And he takes it that she doesn't like him.
Well, he was like, no, I was mad because you got to look good and I had to look dumb.
Ugh.
And he keeps making this point, and it's like, you did look dumb, Rob, but that is not why you were mad. You literally said, oh, you'd wear this any day of the week. This isn't skanky enough. Like, that's why you were mad. It had nothing to do with how you looked, and you just didn't think what she was wearing was revealing enough.
Yeah.
So now you're just lying to her face.
Exactly. Sophie gets really upset because Rob is like, is there someone else? Like, maybe you're banging Kay.
And this, okay, this to me says a lot. It's a bold accusation. All of a sudden, you just come out and accuse her of cheating.
Mm-hmm.
To me, that's a guilty conscience. That's you, Rob, ho-phone Rob.
Yeah.
Feeling a little guilty about maybe what you're doing, and now you're projecting and putting it onto Sophie of like, oh, I actually think maybe you're sleeping with someone. It's like, no, sounds like a guilty conscience to me.
Yeah. Well, they get home and Sophie just storms out. She leaves the car and Rob is just sitting there.
Yeah. I kind of know how this relationship's going to end.
True.
But he's definitely not doing anything to keep it together.
No, and Sophie keeps saying, all I want him to do is to be nice and give me compliments.
Yeah.
Well, then they take the fight inside and they just keep arguing. Sophie brings up the ho phone, of course. Rob is like, there's no ho phone. It was my phone. It was connected to the Wi-Fi. Something strange.
Yeah. When she said, I just want you to be nice to me. I want you to say nice things. His literal response was, I'd love to know what kind of person is going to give you everything you need. It's like, your spouse should be that person.
Yeah. And she's not asking you for money or expensive house.
That's your mom, Sophie.
Or like jewelry. Like, she's asking you to be nice. The cheapest thing you can give her, literally.
It's free, actually.
It's free. That's all she wants from you.
And his response is literally, I want to know what kind of person is going to give you everything you need.
Yeah. Well, that's enough for Sophie because she grabs her bag. She storms off. She pulls off the mic. She's like, I can't do this anymore.
And there she goes.
Yikes.
They're Nicole and Mahmood version 2.0.
Like, oh, yeah.
Every episode, they're just breaking up, running away.
Yeah. If you're married to someone and you keep moving out, then just don't be married.
Exactly.
Literally.
Exactly.
What's the point? I can understand if they got into a fight and she took a walk to calm down and came back and they resolved it, right?
Yeah.
She always packs up and leaves. Mahmood packs up and leaves. Like, it's not good.
If you're doing this more than once every 2 or 3 years, it's probably time to end it.
You do it once and that's it. Like, you leave once and you're leaving.
Yeah, yeah. Okay.
Because like, if you want to leave someone, you get to the point that you pack your actual bag. That says a lot. That's just, what the fuck?
Yeah, that's a good point. All right, Emily and Kobe, let the knock door begin.
Yes.
Kobe and crew on the way to Lisa and David. And everyone is hoping that Lisa's going to give in and accept the bride price.
Yeah, but Kobe has a feeling she won. So he's asking like, so what's going to happen if someone would like refuse the tradition, the money? And they're like, absolutely fucking not. It's not happening. They have to. It's a tradition, right?
Yeah. Yeah.
And Emily's been like the best. It's not a makeover, but the best
version of herself.
Well, it's almost like 180 from her first season, right? Okay. Like, she's been great. Like, she really plays along with all this. David does too.
David's loving it.
Lisa, she has a few issues, but at least she's still there.
Yeah. So Kobe and everyone arrived, and Emily had to go backstage. The bride is never present at the start of the knock door.
Yes.
And the groom doesn't even really talk. It's more the groom's family who does the negotiating.
Yeah. So Kobe brought his dad, his stepmom, and two cousins for the knock door.
Yeah. So,
and I love how Kobe's explaining everything that's about to happen so David can play along.
David looked terrified. He did not want to mess this up. He was all in, and I appreciate and respect that. And he just looked terrified. Like, he almost looked like he was being held hostage, and he didn't want, like, don't shoot. Whatever you are asking, whatever your demands, I'm here to meet them.
But he's doing a great job. At some point, mommy's allowed to go and get Emily. And they were like, and David's like, Emily, do you know these guys over here? Yes. Do you know this family? Like, yes, yeah, yes. He's like really playing along.
Yeah, it was great. And then, okay.
It's great until cousin speaks up.
We want to confirm that the woman belongs to us.
And yikes.
Lisa has to pipe up and say, she says, we're concerned about the bride price. It feels like we're selling Emily. And Kobe's family's like, well, this is our tradition. She's already property to Kobe and our family. And Lisa's like, it sounds like Emily is part of your family and no longer our family.
Yeah, well, they said, well, she's the property of my brother.
Yeah.
And this is just about if she dies, we'll bring her back to Cameroon and bury her here.
No, okay. So this is the head-scratching part to me and what we should try to figure out here. Kobe's family said, it's our family. If Emily dies today, we will be the ones to bury her here in Cameroon because our wife's our property. The word today is what I'm trying to figure out because they're currently in Cameroon.
Yeah.
So does that mean that's why she would get buried in Cameroon? If she died in Kansas, are they going to bury her in Kansas or are they going to fly her to Cameroon and bury her there? Because that's,
I don't know.
That is concerning if I am Lisa and David.
Yeah. Well, David and Lisa have the biggest issue for them is the word property. And I want to not blame it, but they're trying to translate their traditions, right?
Yeah.
It's a poor choice of words.
Maybe.
I think saying property, if you say it in the U.S., it's like, whoa, like, no, like, women are not property, which is true. I feel like if you just use it as their tradition and play along, like, oh, of course, she's not anyone's property. She's her own person. She's an American. She lives in this free world. Like, she is not anyone's property. That's just the fact, right? I feel like at this point, Lisa and David, I get it. It bothers them because of the world they come from. But respect the traditions.
Yeah.
Like, no one's buying or selling Emily. Let's just put it out there.
Yeah.
They've been married already. Kobe is very much involved in the American culture, right? Like, they know it.
Yeah.
So let's just play along.
Yeah, and also, Lisa, be a good piece of property and listen to your man because David is fine with it. And respect your man.
Like, look at it this way. Ask for some money. Buy something for the kids. Like, have fun. I'm serious.
No, you ask for a dollar. If it's just...
Ask for 20 and buy a toy.
Ask for 20. Yeah.
Yeah. Get something out of it.
Yeah.
What are you going to do with a dollar?
Because I think it's just symbolic.
At least $1.50 so you can get a hot dog at Costco.
And a soda. Apparently there was some guy who lived off that diet for every day for I forget how many days. But I was like, that's brilliant. Like, you talk about, oh, you moved to New York City and it's so expensive and you have to just live off dollars.
There's no Costco in
you. No, but you live off dollar slices. Oh. We could just live off, you know how much money we would save if we just did the Costco value meal every
day? Yeah, and your organs going to explode from all the hot dog fat.
You would die in a year, probably, yeah. But the money you would save. All right. Speaking of Costco hot dogs.
Did you hear they said they will never raise the price? They said the Costco hot dog will stay at $1.50.
Good. Well, they have what's called loss leaders at stores like this.
What's that?
I think it's called loss leader. You basically sell things at a loss because it brings people into the store and you like they make their money on their memberships. I'm pretty sure
they do.
They're not making a ton of money on a lot of the items they sell because they're so cheap. But they just have certain products. It's like, yeah, we're going to sell this at a loss.
People say the Costco pizza is not bad. My issue is like, I don't like pepperoni pizza. I can't.
Every time we walk by, I go, can we get some? And you go, no.
Because I don't eat pepperoni.
You think they only have pepperoni?
That's the one thing I see.
No, they have multiple options.
They have like a veggie pizza?
Definitely.
I might do that.
Come on. All right. Something that wouldn't be sold at Costco because it's not bulk. It's quite small, actually. It's Small Ed. Small Ed and Liz.
Yeah. They're home and Liz and Riley are packing because the wedding's off. The relationship is off. Riley is going back to San Diego and Liz is going with her, at least for now, because she needs to figure out if she wants to move back or live in Arkansas because that's where she got her real estate license. Don't be a moron. Move back to San Diego. You have your family there, more jobs. Get your license in San Diego. Don't move back to Arkansas and live near Small Ed because of your license.
Speaking of morons, Liz was legit wearing Small Ed merch as she was packing up to leave.
Yeah, that's just sad.
I have a feeling he gave her a bag of Small Ed merch as like a consolation prize. Like very Derek Jeter of him to be like, I
know. I think he gave it to her as a discount. Like maybe just give me $10 and I'll give you all this.
Gave her a promo code? Yeah. Just how are you wearing Small Ed merch as you pack up, as your relationship is ending and you're packing up with your tail between your legs to go back to California and you're wearing a hoodie with his face on it?
Awful.
It's crazy.
Well, Small Ed is asking to have a talk with Riley and he apologizes to her and says, you know, we might not see each other for a while or ever.
Yeah.
But I will always love you. And Riley is like, I will love you too.
Ugh.
Poor Riley.
Oh, like mother, like daughter.
Yeah. Liz says it. She's like, if I knew, I wouldn't bring Riley into this. But they were getting married. Like, I understand why she brought Riley into the mix.
Yeah,
if you were getting married someone, you would hope that it's a solid relationship.
Also, you moved from California to Arkansas. You have to. You can't just Larissa and leave your kids.
Yeah.
You got to tell them that you're going. now they're going back. Liz and Riley are going back.
They packed up the car, they left, and Small is trying to figure out if he needs to get a cleaning lady or if he should start cleaning himself.
That's his biggest concern. What an idiot.
Total idiot. I don't know if it's real, old or new. Didn't really dig deep because I just saw it recently.
I think I know what you're going to say.
A video of him saying he's dating.
Oh, well, I saw that Liz is dating.
Well, I saw a video of him saying like he's dating and he's dating women more closer to his age. And it's a little more like nothing serious, but he has some options.
Oh, good. Good. I was worried about you, Small Ed. Glad to hear you bounce back.
I hope Liz burned all the merch and just like forget about Small Ed.
Yeah. Unlikely.
Like I always go back to the single life. We met Liz. She was such a happy young woman, just living her best life.
So full of life.
So full of life. And you look at her now, she looks miserable in every shot. She looks miserable. I'm like, what happened to you? I know what happened to you. Small Ed happened to you, but you can see the downfall of Liz. And I think Small Ed ending this relationship is the best thing that happened to Liz since Small Ed.
Well, no.
No. No.
Since Riley.
Yeah, since Riley.
That doesn't make any sense.
Thank you.
Yeah, she needed to get rid of Small Ed. She wasn't willing to do it, so he did it for her. And yes, it's the best gift that he could give her.
Yeah, just move on and don't never look back. Just burn the merch or sell it. I don't know. Who cares? Just move on.
All right. We need to move on because that's the end of the episode.
Yeah.
What an episode. No Ashley, no Manuel. Thank the Lord or whoever Ashley believes in. No Patrick and Thais. Not mad about that because that's a little bit of a storyline. Although
such a snoozer.
Uncle John is in Brazil, so maybe that'll spice some things up. But we got Angela and Michael. So that's fun. And whoo, the season is trucking along.
Yeah.
It's trucking along. If you guys want to hear our thoughts on the other wild season we're talking about, Love and Paradise, well, we're on Patreon and Supercast talking about it. Patreon.com/MarriedToReality or MarriedToReality.Supercast.com. That coverage starts at the Cousins Club level. It's audio only. If you want to see video of us recording that podcast, that's the Family Affair level, which also comes with a monthly bonus. Everyone gets access to the chat on Patreon. Everyone gets access to the bonuses we throw out once in a while when something tickles our fancy. So check it out, Patreon and Supercast. Also, make sure you're following the podcast on Instagram at Married to Reality Pod. Call in over there. Let us know. What do you think about this season?
Yes.
Also, make sure you're following the podcast wherever you're listening. It's so easy to do. Just look down and smash that follow button.
Guys, smash it like it's as hot as Liz's life without Smollett.
So hot.
So hot. I hope so.
Especially because it's as hot as that taco pasta.
Don't even get me started on it.
The pasta heard round the world. The pasta that broke up a power couple. Smash it's as hot as that $1.50 hot dog.
Oh, yeah.
All right. And if you haven't left the review, please do. You guys know we're suckers for a little love. If you leave a 5-star review and you write something, we'll read it on this podcast for everyone to hear.
Yes.
All right. That is it. I've said it all. You said too much, Teresa.
As usual.
Yeah, as usual. So that is it. I'll talk to you guys soon. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
Why is life better with American Family Insurance? Because every policy comes with something very special. A trusted agent who's there to help protect your dreams by finding the right coverage at the right price. Save up to 23% when you bundle home and auto. American Family Insurance. Get a quote and find an agent at AmFam.com.
Products not available in every state. Visit AmFam.com to learn how discounts may apply to you. American Family Mutual Insurance Company, S.I. and its operating company, 6000 American Parkway, Madison, Wisconsin.
Time is precious, and so are our pets. So time with our pets is extra precious. That's why we started Dutch. Dutch provides 24/7 access to licensed vets with unlimited virtual visits and follow-ups for up to 5 pets. You can message a vet at any time and schedule a video visit the same day. Our vets can even prescribe medication for many ailments, and shipping is always free. With Dutch, you'll get more time with your pets and year-round peace of mind when it comes to their vet care.